In a major escalation, the Trump administration deployed approximately 2,000 federal agents to Minneapolis, Minnesota. FBI, DHS, HSI, and ICE targeting widespread industrial-scale fraud in state-administered social services programs, while five states have had $10 billion in federal funds frozen for social services programs.
You have an understanding that 1,000 whistleblowers running an account on X have come forward to expose fraud in Minnesota state agencies, and they have been entirely ignored by Tim Walz and have even been retaliated against. Is that accurate?
That is correct. Even this morning, I got another message.
Make no mistake, we should be concerned about fraud in our state government. We cannot effectively deliver programs and services if we can't earn the public's trust.
The Tim Walz administration has utterly failed to protect Minnesota taxpayers and vulnerable citizens, ignoring years of credible reports and retaliating against those who spoke up, often by claiming they were racist or Islamophobic.
So today, if someone asks me, should I report fraud within DHS, I say no, no, no. It is career suicide plus a whole lot more. In our face-to-face meetings with a group of whistleblowers, they revealed that retaliation now includes threats of being fired with cause, which means you do not get unemployment insurance in the state of Minnesota, being blacklisted from all state agencies, and then there was a veiled threat of the use of military intelligence against them. They later informed me that it was discovered that in some targeted employees or suspected whistleblowers' personnel files were pictures of their homes and their cars. They also described that supervisors asked them questions about their families that to them felt like a threat. One example was, we need to know where your kids go to school and where their bus stops are.
Fending off the links to fraud, Governor Tim Walz has nervously welcomed federal cooperation.
We have a requirement that the House run an audit, which they did not do. You are the gatekeepers on this. Demand that there's data practices, and if they have emails showing that I have committed fraud, you should get those.
Which agency will provide oversight? Who will be the investigators? Will be audited? How often? Will the Attorney General's office play a role in that? Can you just speak to that?
Yeah. Those conducting oversight will, to a certain extent, probably make themselves known to us.
While Attorney General Keith Ellison has already been exposed.
Your office was involved when Feed in Our Future was sued for the first time.
And I'll call them in my office and demand some explanations.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
I'm one of them, those guys you're talking about. April 30th, I got shut down and I got they put me on bows.
You say April?
April 30th.
Yeah.
You mean throughout the whole summer and the fall?
Yep. And I
you ain't got no money since then?
No, yeah. I have like 10 pilots sitting up to that safari.
Attorney General Keith Ellison was focused on one thing and one thing only, and that was keeping these folks in business. There were no questions that he asked of these folks about how the kids are doing, the operation, how they're getting fed, who's being helped. Instead, the focus was entirely on ensuring that the money continues to flow. And I'll add that he went so far as to say that he was going to fight these people in reference to the state agencies. The state agencies are his client.
Yeah. And when you said money's going to flow, did money flow to Mr. Ellison's campaign a couple weeks later from some of the folks who were in that meeting?
Sure did.
How much do we know how much that was?
I do not have that number.
So it wasn't just overlooking the fraud. They were actively trying to make sure this program continued, and then they benefited from that politically with contributions to their campaign, all in this same year, all in 2021, when this was all coming to a head. Is that accurate?
That is my understanding.
Meanwhile, America asks, why are we even paying taxes? The United States collects roughly $2.4 trillion annually in individual federal income taxes. Following long-needed investigations and reform, the real fraud numbers could exceed the taxpayers' contribution. Meanwhile, Somalia had billions in debt forgiven as it digs itself further into the pockets of the American taxpayer.
The full scope of the problem is not just criminal fraud, but a culture of profiting from government programs in perpetuity, not as a safety net, but as an industry.
I'm not an influencer, by the way. I'm a patriot. and a journalist and a pundit and analysis and a futurist and a father and a guy who loves God. Influencer comes from the time of Plato and Aristotle and Socrates. And influencers are people that use rhetoric without facts and reality and logic to convince dumb people. So when the globalists call you all influencers and you go, yeah, I'm an influencer, just shows how stupid you are. Stop calling yourselves influencers. I'm a philosopher. I'm a warrior. I'm a game changer. I'm a historian. I'm a fighter. I'm a pioneer. I'm an explorer. I got red blood. It's pumping through my big heart fast. I like life and freedom and justice. I like women. I like red meat. I like guns. I like sunsets and puppy dogs. And ladies of the night. To quote Waylon Jennings.
Watching The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com.
Annihilate. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to The War Room. Coming to you live this Thursday afternoon. I'm in studio with the one and only Stuart Rhodes, captain of the Oath Keepers. Oathkeepers.info, GibsonGo.com/oath is where you can go to support him. And you're back on X.
Yes.
I heard you say that on the show, I know it's...
I mean, knock on wood.
Yeah, nobody tell Elon.
We'll see what happens. So I'm issuing a call to action. I think it's time for us to step up. I don't care if you're not an Oath Keeper member. That's not what it's about. That's what we used to do before. So if you are prior military, police, professionally trained security, you know, if you're someone that can do security work, I'm putting a call to action out right now, right here on live on air. You can email us at volunteers@oathkeepers.info. Give us your background. Let me know what your prior experience is. If you're a prior law enforcement officer, whatever you're comfortable giving us for documentation to prove that. We'll have to do a background check on you like we always used to do. So I'm going to put together teams in every state to go and protect guys like Nick Sotor and Nick Shirley. And I was telling you, I was just talking to Brian Mock, who's another J6er, lives in Minnesota. I said, hey, Brian, why don't you go down there and be a man on the street for interviews? It's like, F that.
Yeah.
It's not safe. You know, so
Nick Sotor got run out of there.
Right.
Yeah, and he had security and said, you know, it wasn't enough. Guys, we can put a lower third down there for the email. It's volunteers@oathkeepers.info.
Right.
So I was going to say, your name came up quite a few times yesterday during the show. Callers, you know, calling in, going, you know, where are the Oath Keepers?
Right.
You know, maybe we need to get people down there.
We need to.
And this is really what you guys did and do.
Yeah.
And
we did
since
that.
Ferguson, I mean.
That's right. Since 2014, we did this in the streets and then also throughout the entire Trump administration. Also, important point, 100% successful. Never had a use of force incident. Never had to shoot anybody, even punch or kick anybody. Or no pepper spray, nothing.
Wow.
Because the bad guys wouldn't close. Not saying like a jihadist Somali guy, for example, won't become kinetic. We don't know that. But our guys are competent, and unless they're a crazy jihadist, usually it'll deter them.
So. Well, I've seen groups of Oath Keepers at protests, and it's not a group that you want to mess with. just from the appearance, it's competent men who are, you know, body armor decked out, who are there to provide peace and stability and to de-escalate.
Right.
And nobody's going to be running up on them unless they really have a death warrant.
And you know, we had about 30% of our membership was retired or current law enforcement officers. And a lot of them, their current officers, they didn't carry anywhere in the country, including Washington, D.C., or they're retired with LEOSA credentials, they didn't carry nationwide. So that's what LEOSA is for, you know, Law Enforcement Officer Safety Act.
Right.
And so I think that helped a lot with the deterrence. Because the bad guys know. Like, okay, you can't tell which one's a retired cop.
Right.
Yeah, even in D.C. or like Berkeley, California, for example, for that operation, none of us veterans, I'm not a prior law enforcement, none of us veterans could carry a gun because they just passed an emergency ordinance the night before to ban all weapons in the park. But the cops told our cops, hey, we're not going to tell another officer he can't carry.
Right.
So we had 14 armed police officers, Oath Keeper cops in the park. And I'm sure the bad guys learned that.
Yeah.
Through their contacts inside of the Berkeley PD. So.
Well, and so that can be, you know, the difference between a riot really getting violent and being able to bring about calm. Well,
it was. Here's the thing, though, is that we're seeing it now. Same thing we saw before. Stand down orders being given by Democrat politicians. Unfortunately, you know, bad guy police chiefs giving their guys orders. Like in Berkeley, they stood back and let Antifa assault people. The first rally that after President Trump was inaugurated in 2016,
right.
We saw that live online. We weren't there. But we saw that. It's like, oh, they just stood down and did nothing to protect people. And people in there were clubs beating people up. So we went in, and because our cops were there, the cops did a better job. Gave them about a C.
Right.
The next time, we gave them an A because they blocked Antifa from even getting to the park at all.
Right.
So,
which I should have done from the beginning, but sometimes they need that extra.
So the presence of retired police officers doing their job for them, I think, prods the police to do a better job.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Well, and the police don't want it to. But basically, when it's just Antifa, it's just like a one-sided thing. It's
right.
Like, it's fine, just let Antifa go beat them up. But as soon as it's like, oh, wait, the right's going to stand up for themselves, then they'll go in and make sure that there's no that there's no conflict.
Right. And so I'm going to give props to the Proud Boys also.
Right.
They were very different, a little different strategy. They're more of, in your face, let's street fight.
Yeah, a little more of a frat bro vibe.
But they also protected people.
Absolutely.
And prevented Antifa from running the streets, wherever they hung with.
No, absolutely. So. Well, and, I'm having flashbacks to 2020.
This is 2020. It's deja vu all over again.
It really is. And we were talking about it before the break, or before we went live. In 2020, there was like Ahmed Arbery, which was the guy who was running around construction sites.
Jogging.
He was jogging in his hiking boots and his jeans. And
Checking out empty houses.
Yeah, right. Just, the normal thing you do when jogging through a neighborhood that's 5 miles from where you live. Anyway, it was an unfortunate situation. They tried to do a citizen's arrest on him. He tried to grab the gun, ended up getting shot. And that was sort of like, that was in, I think, like early February 2020. And there was sort of a bump, and it was like Black Lives Matter, which hadn't been around for a while, sort of, started cropping up again. But it didn't become a big nationwide thing until George Floyd hit. So it almost feels like what happened yesterday, we're not seeing the same, impetus that like when George Floyd, it's not this nationwide uprising, but it almost feels like that early warning shot.
Yeah. If that had been a black
the storm,
woman. Then it would
exactly.
Katie bar the door.
That's how
right.
it feels.
Right. I think Alex said that yesterday on the show. He's like, hey, it was a white chick. They're still going to use it all they possibly can.
Yep.
Yeah, but that's right. We're heading into the same territory. And that's what's frustrating is we should not. I don't want to see a repeat of 2020 with the same outcome.
Right.
And the outcome after 2020 is that President Trump did not invoke the Insurrection Act, did not actually, go after the people who were directly obstructing. Like, they tried to burn down the federal courthouse.
Yeah.
In fact, I knew some of the U.S. Marshals. They were, taking me back and forth to trial in shackles. They were like, oh, yeah, I was at the courthouse.
Wow.
They tried to kill us.
Yeah.
Anything happened to those guys? Nope. So here I am in shackles for doing nothing, while the ones who tried to burn them to death in the courthouse are still walking free.
And those people probably got payouts, because that keeps happening. These big cities who, in New York, there was a riot. They zip tied a couple people for a couple minutes, and those people suddenly got $20,000 checks from the city.
Right.
As payment for the pain and suffering they were caused. So, it's completely one-sided and unfair. Do you think we're going to see a repeat? Because it is, but it's a little different. Because 2020, there was the election coming up, and I know not just from Trump, but even from Trump voters. We were going, hey, this sucks, but like, don't do anything crazy. This is all about the election. We're not going to let it.
That's the problem.
Now, of course,
yeah.
Then the election gets stolen anyway.
Right.
So, and that's
well,
what
the midterms are going to get stolen anyway.
Right.
Or the midterms will be lost. As I was talking about with Alex on the show, the midterms going to get lost. I was talking with Ivan actually.
Yeah.
But it'll get lost because of the inaction.
Yep.
So it's the same. It is deja vu all over again. This is 2020. There's an election coming up. I'm sure President Trump's being told, oh, you can't do that. You can't invoke the Insurrection Act. You can't actually go after the bad guys, scorched earth, because you'll lose the midterms. No, it's the exact opposite. If you don't do what we put you in office to do, what you have the power to do, and what the vast majority of the American public wants you to do, is go after the corrupt pedophiles, the corrupt traitors, people that are profiting off of child sex trafficking. You go after these people that are in political power.
Yeah.
And you'll win the midterms.
100%. And, even if part of the frustration for me is like, it doesn't even seem like they're trying to me. It
Who's
seems
they?
Like Trump and Pam Bondi. And,
right. Well, they're not trying on purpose, I believe.
Right. And so it's, it was
like Bill, just like Barr again.
Yes, exactly. Just like Barr. And
Bob
it would
Barr.
Be one thing if they're filing this and filing that. And okay, the court's overturning it, and this goes up to a higher court. And there's something happening. But it's like, okay, they file one for Comey. And then like a couple weeks later, it gets thrown out.
Right.
And they're like, meh.
You can't
and
do
it's just
it.
Like, well, where is the fight? Where is the fire? You, they're not even showing us that they're trying to do this.
Right.
So that to me is the frustration behind it. Is it would be one thing if they were trying, but they don't even seem like they're trying.
No, they don't, and they're not. And I think it's the same play. You had Barr last time as Attorney General was a poison pill.
Yep.
And he's on the same agenda, which is to run the clock out on Trump, distract him with foreign policy. And back then it was distracting with impeachment and all that.
Yep.
Put him on the defensive and then run the clock out. And so they're going to take the. And I do believe that a lot of the Republicans in the House and the Senate don't care about losing the midterms. They're fine with that because they continue to be in the club. Griff continues. You think Lindsey Graham cares about losing the majority in the Senate? No.
I think a lot of things about Lindsey Graham
Let's put it this way. He's part of the deep state. He wants to preserve that trowel that they're all feeding at. He does not 100%. Want that tipped over. And so he doesn't care if he gets nudged to the side a little bit. He's still eating at the trowel.
100%. In fact, I have actually videos from it. It's funny you bring this up because people have been posting videos of Lindsey Graham from 2020, 2021, when he was one of the first to throw Trump under the bus and congratulate Kamala and Joe Biden for winning the election. I mean, he was a traitor on January 6th who gave a speech basically saying, you know, this is all silly. They won. The election wasn't stolen. Guys, I'm not sure if you know which where in the list that was because I wasn't expecting to go to it.
Yeah, I want to see that.
Yeah, I put it in. I actually put it in somewhat recently. Yeah, let's go to this. So this has been going around.
There he is.
Posted with Lindsey Graham, a profile. Lindsey Graham, a profile in cowardice. This is from 2021, January 6th.
Candy pants is what I call him.
Candy pants. Let's watch.
Say is count me out. Enough is enough. I've tried to be helpful. And when it's over, it is over. It is over. The final thing, Joe Biden, I've traveled the world with Joe. I hoped he lost. I prayed he would lose. He won. He's the legitimate president of the United States. I cannot convince people, certain groups, by my words, but I will tell you by my actions, that maybe I, among any, above all others in this body, need to say this. Joe Biden and Kamala Harris are lawfully elected and will become the president and the vice president of the United States on January the 20th.
So there you go. That was either on January 6th or just shortly after. Obviously, it was before the inauguration there. And now that guy is best friends with Donald Trump. Every time I see Trump, Lindsey Graham is right there, you know, vibrating with excitement about what new war is being launched.
Please don't talk about Lindsey Graham and vibrating.
I know. This is the vibe he gives off, right? He's squealing with glee at the prospect of yet another front in the global war opening up.
Yeah.
But isn't that emblematic of how Trump has gone wrong, that's the guy that he's now allied with?
I don't understand why he can't see these people hate him and have nothing but contempt for him and for all of his followers, for the entire America First movement. These are traitors to our country in allegiance with foreign enemies. And President Trump is sadly doing the same exact thing. So, unless we get him to change trajectory, it's going to be a repeat of 2020.
Yeah.
He'll lose the midterms, and then they'll impeach him and remove him from office. That's what's going to happen.
100%. And, you know, Susie Wiles is saying, well, Trump's going to treat 2026 like 2024, and he's going to be on the campaign trail all year. It's like, that is exactly what we don't need. We need Trump in office, in the Oval Office, making calls, getting crap done, you know, bringing his whip hand down on Pam Bondi and the others, not gallivanting around the country, getting support for people that don't back him up, that don't vote for his policies, aren't doing anything in Congress anyway. So it's just, what a lose-lose situation.
Yeah. They're getting him, they're tricking him into believing that he can just go stump for people that we're not going to vote for.
Yeah.
And I think I've made a really good point. If he cleans house now, by taking down all the, like, doing a master classification exposure and you know, and taking down all the corrupt members of Congress, now you got primaries coming up that we can actually run for.
Right.
Hell, I'll run for one in Texas. Why not?
Right.
You take down Jan Crenshaw, I'll move to, I don't know if I can do it in time, but, you know, I'm just saying as an example.
No, absolutely.
I would go there and fill that vacancy if you expose him. Tim Walz is stepping down now, going to step down. Why? Because
they want to give time
because Nick Shirley exposed the fraud.
Right.
So expose them and take them down politically, and then we'll be able to go in and primary them out.
Yeah.
Including Abbott. I want to see Doc Chambers in Texas as the governor, for example.
I mean, have you seen the image that was being posted today? I don't know how, you know, scientifically valid it is, but it's basically a map of H-1B, you know, visa fraud in America. And Texas is the epicenter.
Right.
I had no idea. I mean, it's obvious now. You go around some of these neighborhoods, especially around Austin.
Yeah.
You know, used to be farmhouses 5 years ago. Now
it's New Dilley.
10,000 homes, every one of which is occupied by an Indian family. So yeah, Texas has been completely screwed and hollowed out from the inside.
And Texas
here's
is, a key,
the image here.
Is a key state. You got a massive influx of Indians, like you said,
yep.
from India, you know, dot, not feather.
Yep.
And you've got a massive influx of Muslims, and they're building mosques all over Texas.
Yep.
So that's the H-1B visas?
Yep. Okay. I don't know exactly what the map's showing, but this says this is how the H-1B map looks. You know your state is under full invasion and the fraud is completely out of control. So,
and you can also pair that with a map of all the mosques being built in Texas, too.
Yep. And not to mention the, you know— illegal immigrant city outside of Houston. I mean, right. Yeah, Texas is getting it from all angles for a good reason, right? If we lose Texas, if Texas goes blue, that's it for America.
Oh, yeah.
They've recognized this is
The electoral college votes in Texas are so massive that that's it. And that's why it's happening.
Yeah.
That's why that's happening. It's happening on Abbott's watch.
Yep.
So that's why, like I said, so what was done to through Nick Shirley of all, you know, how old is he, 25 years old?
23, yeah.
Yeah.
Young kid.
So a young kid goes in and does what the DOJ, FBI, DHS, none of them could do any of this. He goes and does it.
Yep.
And only now they go, oh, yeah, we're going to come investigate. You know, we're going to send task forces in.
Yeah. Well, that's been the cycle this entire time with Epstein, with the Butler shooter, with the Charlie Kirk assassination. Every time it's independent reporters coming out with something, and then the next day the FBI comes out going, oh, well, don't worry, we're definitely investigating this.
Steve Baker
crazy.
Discloses who he believes is the pipe bomber.
A week later, what do you know?
And then bam, they magically find the pipe, which I believe is an innocent man.
I do as well. So, yeah, this is the problem, is that we still have these same actors and these same organizations. I mean, we still haven't gotten a single charge for Russiagate, and we have had admissions of guilt since 2016, right? I mean, we've had the text messages of Peter Strzok saying, this is our insurance plan, where Trump's not going to be president. That is an admission of guilt. And so it's like, we can't even get that done.
And they're running the clock out on such limitations now, too.
Right.
Like J6, for example.
Yeah.
So, I mean, so this is what's happening. It's after a while you have to go, this can't be incompetence. It can't be that Pam Bondi and what's his name, the other one? Todd Blanche.
Oh, Todd Blanche, yep.
It can't be that Pam Bondi and Todd Blanche and Cash Patel and Bongino right there with them are just incompetent. It can't be that. This is willful.
100%.
Willful dereliction of duty, and I would consider it frankly treason.
Yeah.
So they're now framing. They didn't fire Ballantyne, the prosecutor in charge of persecuting General Flynn, and then later on persecuting the Proud Boys and other J6ers. They didn't fire her. They put her in charge of covering up the Fed's erection pipe bombing by now prosecuting another innocent human being.
Yep.
And you've got Judge Jeanine letting that happen under her watch too.
She should be fired too. It really is infuriating. And
it is.
I mean, You want to know the biggest difference between the Biden and the Trump administration. It's Merrick Garland versus Pam Bondi. I mean, these two figures could not be more different. Merrick Garland is this like hardcore strictly business. He's the hatchet man who's going to go in and he's the corporate guy who comes in, cuts half of your workforce, you know, sells off all your assets and gets out of there with $1 billion in his pocket. I mean, he was hardcore.
He was.
Compare that to Pam Bondi, this freaking bimbo, bubbling around doing nothing.
They're both working for the same team.
True.
Yeah, it's just like Bill Barr. It was Bill Barr, not Bob Barr. Bob Barr was the old congressman. So Bill Barr, I consider Pam Bondi just Bill Barr in a dress.
Yeah.
High heels.
Bill Barr still has the air
same
of competence, doesn't he?
Same play.
Yeah. But
yeah. Yeah, you're right. He has more of an air of competence, but it's the same play. She just gets to play the dumb blonde.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I just don't know what I'm doing.
Act like you're doing something, achieve nothing, yeah.
Yeah. That's the problem, is that they're running the clock out again. So how do we – it's like that old cartoon, Dr. Seuss cartoon, Horton Hears a Who. How do we get President Trump to hear us and understand what we want him to do, what he has to do? It's so frustrating.
That's a question I've been asking this whole time.
I know, it's been driving you crazy.
I know, because especially because I keep saying, like, the dude almost got shot in the head. What am I supposed to say to him that's going to be more impactful than that? And the rumor is, or at least, you know, the story was yesterday that he's out there asking, you know, Republicans, I have all the right, you know, policies. Why don't people like me? Why is our support leaving?
How can he not? It can be that tone deaf.
I don't get it. It doesn't make any sense.
We want him to take the deep state down, and he's not doing that.
It's really as simple as that.
And hey, why is he not? Why is Ballantyne still in as a prosecutor in the DOJ? You know, one of the worst prosecutors of them all. She's still there. You know, so fire her. Why can't that happen?
Well, yeah, why not?
Yeah. And whatever excuse you got for why you can't prosecute this person or that person, at least have people in the DOJ that are patriots and not traitors.
You know? Do they just not exist? Are there no competent right-wing lawyers? There's like, of course there are. Yeah, why can't we find them? Why is it nothing but these deep state rats that we know are corrupt and we just can't get them out?
Because Todd Blanche runs the DOJ. That's the bottom line.
Because he won one thing for Trump one time.
Yeah.
And that was it. You're Lindsey Graham hearing Trump demanded $500 billion increase to the war budget. Yeah, I mean, Trump, you're palling around with Lindsey frickin' Graham. What do you mean you don't know why people are leaving the plantation? So, you're hanging out with the enemy.
It's like I was talking with Ivan about. I think that President Trump has momentum right now when it comes to foreign policy.
Yes.
He has momentum on that. I would say shift that gear, though, and focus on Mexico. Because Mexico is where the fentanyl is actually coming from, that it's killing, you know, millions of Americans.
Right.
Or like 700,000 now in the last few years, so almost a million. So that's where it's coming from. So use that. You put a shot across the bow against China and everybody else. This is our hemisphere. But now let's do the same exact thing when it comes to what's the name, Sheinbaum down there?
Yeah. Claudia,
which is a really
Claudia
strange
Sheinbaum.
Name for a Mexican president.
El Sheinbaum. Yeah, La Sheinbaum. Yeah, it's Senora Sheinbaum, exactly. El Presidenta. You know, just focus on the domestic stuff.
Well, that's part of it.
He's focused so on the foreign stuff.
No,
it's like
that's my point.
Yeah,
is that he's got the military on his side. That's why he wants to use them. He's got DHS on his side. Like Alex, I think Alex is right about that. They're more loyal. The guys that joined DHS, most of them joined after 9/11 for the right reasons.
Yeah.
So use them, but you know, take advantage of the fact that as commander in chief, you can use the military. But rescue Tina Peters, put the military on the border with Mexico, and become decisive about stopping and focus on the sex trafficking from the cartels and the fentanyl that's killing Americans. Because it's a fair point. In his speech he gave about Maduro, he's like, oh, he killed millions of Americans. No, he really didn't, actually.
Right.
It's really Sheinbaum who's the puppet of the cartels, the puppet of China.
Yep.
China is – that's your biggest proxy for China right now is Mexico.
100%. So, but I just think, you know – frankly, personally, I'm just like, I get it. Trump is being very successful overseas. I don't take that away from him. The Venezuela raid was really, you know, the stuff of legend, really incredible stuff.
Right.
But it's like the next thing I want to hear is something domestic. I don't want to hear about Mexico. I don't want to hear about Russia. I don't want, because it's just do something here. And I think the Tina Peters thing is like, that's the perfect one.
That's a flagship.
It hits all of the vectors, right?
It's easy, like, button.
It's the easy button. It's the right thing to do. It's the moral thing to do. Right. It's the just thing to do. It's not punishing anybody. It's getting somebody out of unjust punishment. So it's not like you even have some sort of backlash because you're arresting somebody. No, you're freeing somebody. And it's the most hardcore Trump supporters that are most outraged that Tina Peters is still rotting away in prison.
Right. Absolutely. And then,
that's
it. But I still, the point I bring up Mexico is that you can say, okay, and who is benefiting from the wide open border with Mexico? Not just the cartels. It's also all the corrupt politicians who are being paid by the cartels inside the United States.
Yep.
Start digging into that, because that's real. And the pedophiles who are the customers of the cartel for sex trafficked children.
Yep.
Right back into you want to deactivate the fallout from the Epstein fiasco. Is you focus on this child sex trafficking by the Mexican cartels and go after the customers.
Absolutely.
Have press conferences where you lay out, we just captured this cartel member who is sex trafficking children. Who can defend that? And here are his connections with politicians.
And then go after the politicians. Right. Hear that, Trump? We just gave you about 15 different things you could do today to get your approval back on track. Is he listening? Time will tell. More on the other side. Stay with us.
I am so excited to talk to you. I want to plug that Irish DMOS was a big game changer for me. I was having a lot of like thermoregulation issues, like morning severe chills and cold in the morning.
Hmm.
All that stopped with the CMOS because it's a thyroid issue, and the CMOS has that iodine to heal your thyroid.
Isn't that amazing?
The methylene blue. Yeah, the methylene blue, life changing. I love it. I don't need caffeine anymore. Like, it's amazing, but I'm trying to be quick.
It's all right. Hey, when you're plugging, we got all the time in the world.
I loved his supplement formula. I am an acupuncturist. I have a master's degree in Chinese medicine, and he's got some really good formulas put together, and they work really well. I really appreciate it. I stopped taking all of my other stuff that I was taken, and I just take a lot of you guys' stuff. I mean, because I love you and I want to support everything you guys are doing, but the formulas are good. I love the greens powder. That I've tried every different type of greens powder out there, and nothing has had as much stuff, amazing stuff packed into it. It has like a decent flavor to it. So the Optimal Human is like a daily staple.
It's good,
me.
Right?
Absolutely, 100%. Yeah. And I'm not saying that because just for you guys, but seriously, I've tried so many greens powders over the years, and it really is the best.
And are we paying you, Katie? Did we pay you to call in?
I would love to work for you. I swear, Alex Jones Fisher is on, like, my mantle with all of my family pictures.
That's
like,
amazing.
We love Alex.
Some people call in and go, this person, you're paying them. But, like, no, but our products really are good. People really like them. It's true.
Well, I accredited him to, like, the life-changing experience I had when I decided to leave California because I didn't want to bash Trump. And I listened to Jones when I found him, and I'm like, I got to get the hell out of here.
Right.
And so I moved back home to Ohio, and 3 months later, I met my husband. I feel like that life-changing event for me was because of listening to all the information that he gives. He's not like predicting the future. He's just giving you the information that's hard to find, where they're telling you what they're going to do.
Yeah. Well, now you have a 3-year-old kid. So your life's going great.
Yes.
I've said it before, but with a lot of these products, like, you really don't know what it's going to do for you because you might not know that you're lacking a vitamin or lacking a mineral. And it like happens all the time with iodine. Iodine is one of those things where, like, as soon as you start taking it, you're like, oh, I'm not supposed to, and I'm not a doctor, this is not a medical claim, but people experience this. I've heard it from my friends where they're like, I'm not supposed to be tired all the time. I apparently just was lacking iodine. And it's like, you don't know if you're going to feel more energetic, if you're going to sleep better, if you're not going to have chills anymore. It's like people sort of go around thinking that that's the way their body is, but it's like, no, you're missing a key component. You're missing a vitamin, you're missing a mineral, and you don't even realize until you start taking something from the Alex Jones store. So I completely understand that you start taking the Irish sea moss and suddenly something that you thought was just the way your body is. No, turns out you can fix it. You can fix these things. Again, I'm not making medical claims, but you can only find out for yourself what effects these things will have. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Thanks for the plug, Katie.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Welcome back, folks. This is The War Room. Stuart Rhodes in studio with me. He's looking for volunteers to help go keep the peace as we look forward.
Protect.
Right.
Yeah. Looking for volunteers to help protect.
To be on the ground at protest sites.
Protecting men like Nick Shirley and Nick Sotor.
Nick Sotor, yeah.
Right. Who I guess just yesterday was saying that he got driven out with threats of violence.
That's what he was saying. And he is very mad at the local police who basically told him, nothing we can do. Hung up on him while he was on 911, apparently.
It's so weird. It is deja vu all over again. It's the same exact pattern we saw in the first Trump administration. Local police obeying stand down orders and not protecting Americans or exercising their rights. And so we have to step up and fill the vacuum.
You got to step into the gap. And so you can volunteer by emailing volunteers@oathkeepers.info. Volunteers@oathkeepers.info is the email address. And you can email and just say, I'm a retired cop or I'm a retired serviceman.
I mean, we would take police officers, military veterans, definitely you have to take EMS personnel. It's always good.
First
to
First responders, yeah.
Any guys who are professional trained security, you know, whatever, the license interstate. All of that is good. It was security experience. A guy used to be a bouncer. I'll take a guy like that, too. Mm. Like you've probably seen, what's that one, mixed martial arts that goes around and protects people.
Yeah.
I can't remember his name now, but he's squared away. If you're training in MMA and you can fight, I'll take you.
Okay.
In the past, we used guys that were boxers or MMA fighters or wrestlers. If you've got competency like that, you're good with your hands and you can take care of yourself, trust me, Antifa's not going to want to tangle with you.
Right. So, but you're there to guarantee that people like Nick Shirley, Nick Sortor have the First Amendment, right?
Murdered, right.
Yeah.
And going into something like Minneapolis, I would definitely want to have retired police officers that could carry and that have lethal force capacity.
Not
that
you would want to use
it. But we were there, for example, during a Trump campaign rally. I think it was back in, when was that? 2017, I think it was. So we were at a Trump campaign rally, or 2018. And we successfully protected people in the streets of Minneapolis.
Yeah,
that was.
Of course, you were there in Ferguson when this all really popped off, and that was some of the craziest stuff.
Right. So yes, please, and you don't have to be an Oath Keeper member to volunteer. Of course, we're welcome to have you as a member, but you can volunteer. I don't care whether you're a member or not, as long as you're competent and trained and squared away, and are okay with going through a background check.
And so, and if you want to join the Oath Keepers, you can go to oathkeepers.info. And if you want to contribute, you can go to givesendgo.com/oath. That's givesendgo.com/oath. And you got to get these networks up and running now, because obviously it looks like we're in for a bumpy road ahead, especially with the just insane confidence of the left, who right now are not in power, but are making threats like they are. I mean, it's completely insane. And now you have the governor of Minnesota putting the National Guard on alert that they may be deployed to fight federal agents. Like,
he gave them a warning order. So it was a warning order.
Right.
And he made it very clear that they're our National Guard.
Right.
So what you're going to see potentially is a repeat of what you saw in Little Rock, Arkansas, if President Trump plays this right. I hope that Tim Walz, governor of Minnesota, gives the orders to the National Guard of Minnesota to obstruct ICE and prevent them from exercising their responsibilities as federal agents. I hope he does that. That's exactly what happened in Little Rock, Arkansas. The governor of Arkansas ordered his National Guard to go and block the black students from attending the schools.
Right.
And then Eisenhower nationalized the National Guard of Arkansas. That's step one. But step two, he sent in the 101st Airborne. Like 1,000 of 101st Airborne troops to go and escort them personally. So that's what I would do. I think President Trump, if I were President Trump, I think President Trump should say, okay, throw me in that briar patch. Go ahead and call up your National Guard to obstruct federal agents. Please do that. Then I'll nationalize them, order them to do whatever I want them to do. But meanwhile, and I would send in the 101st.
Right.
Why not?
It's their historical,
Fly them right in. Now they're air assault, not airborne. That's okay. They're still badasses. Fly them in from Kentucky, from Fort Campbell, where they're based at. Bring them into Colorado and put them on the streets.
So that's actually I hadn't thought about it in that way yet. You're exactly right. There is a historical precedent for this exact thing.
Exactly
happening.
The same thing. So Tim Walz is behaving exactly like, I think it was Governor Faub or whatever his name was. Whatever his name was. The governor of Arkansas, he's behaving exactly the same way.
Yeah.
And draw that parallel. It's like, hey, just as Eisenhower made clear, you can't obstruct federal authority when they're exercising their duties. And it's about
in accordance with the law. Yeah, right. Absolutely.
Can't do that. And then reemphasize, we are going into Minneapolis not just to get after the fraudsters, but also to take down child sex traffickers and cartel members who are killing Americans with Chinese fentanyl. That's what's part of the strategy of the CHICOMs. You know, they're unrestricted warfare to come in and kill Americans. So that's what we're doing here.
Absolutely. And then, of course, I mean, it's almost just hard to talk about this because technically there's a kind of two separate things, but just obviously that's not. It's not a coincidence that, like, on the day that you have this big expose about how Walz himself and his DHS were backdating documents to try to get away with the fraud, that suddenly he's starting a civil war with the federal. So it's like, technically, these are two separate things. This woman died as part of the ICE enforcement, while at the same time, there's this big fraud investigation, but it's all about immigration. The reason the immigrants are coming over is because they vote for the Democrats, who then give them big checks, which part of that goes back into the campaign.
Right.
So, I mean, this is, it seems to me, just on the surface, I mean, this is a guy who was caught, engaged in, or helping to cover up this immense fraud and is now trying to start a domestic disturbance to try to distract from it and get away from it.
That's the problem with what happened yesterday. And this is why half measures don't work.
Right.
It's sharply in contrast. It's not like, oh, you can't bring out the National Guard because then someone will get killed. Well, someone just got killed
right.
because you didn't have sufficient manpower to block the streets and prevent vehicle traffic. That's where you know that's their pattern. They're yep. going to be using vehicles to ram you. So why would you let them drive down that road where you're doing operations?
That is something I've been complaining about, and I have people online going, oh, now InfoWars is on the side of the feds. But I'm going, guys, we've been invaded with tens of millions of people. We have to get them out.
Yes.
Doing this daylight raid in the middle of streets that are open and people are coming in and ramming their car, it's just chaotic. You have to treat this like a military operation. Right. Here's the neighborhood. We're going to descend at 3 o'clock in the morning, get everybody out. And by the time, you know, the lefties realize what's going on, they've already bagged everybody and gotten out of there. I mean, they need to take it more seriously.
Just like a raid, like the Venezuela raid, or like raids in Iraq.
Yep.
You know, when special forces or any military unit had a target list, they'd go in the middle of the night and go grab them. And they would, of course, have a perimeter around the area of operation to protect against the enemy coming back with their QRF.
Exactly. Yep.
So you have to do that. You isolate the objective, and you do your raid, and then you get out.
And
you don't want to Mogadishu,
right?
You don't want to have
where you get bogged down and
get bogged
stuck
down.
There. Yeah.
So that's what happened yesterday. Because they're not blocking the streets, you had vehicle traffic, and they had a situation where you had, you know, Governor Walz given a gift of a dead Karen that
right.
he can now deflect from his fraud.
And then to see them encourage the violence and
go out there and do more protests, more Karen obstruction.
It's so insanely irresponsible.
Be peaceful,
right?
As you know,
and they know stretch. Exactly what they're doing.
Yes.
I mean, they're sending people into the lion's den, like
cannon
really
fodder.
Dangerous. And I think we were talking about this during the break. How on January 6th, you know, Trump came out and made a video saying, "Be peaceful, go home." Meanwhile, these Democrats. Immediately after this, while the crowds are gathering and the riotous conditions are starting, they're on video going, "This woman was murdered and we will not stand for this and get the F out of here, ICE." I mean, they are doing yeah. everything they can to incite the violence.
Sure, because what they're doing, they're basically saying that she did nothing wrong with going in there with vehicles and trying to block, that's peaceful protest, trying to
yep.
block and obstruct. Keep doing that, because all it's going to do is give them more, they hope. More dead Karens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Literally.
They can get, and eventually they'll win the lottery and get a dead black Karen.
Right.
Then it'll be Katie Barr to the door. It'll be George Floyd all over again.
And hell, if they can't bring it about, you know, naturally or authentically, maybe they'll just do it themselves. You know, after
right.
all, you know, that's the way the mind works. So they go, people don't understand the threat that we're under. We'll kill somebody. So then they'll understand, you know, how real this is. I mean, these people are crazy.
So draw back the parallel again with Eisenhower. Imagine if Eisenhower had sent in federal agents to go and escort the black students into the schools, and then you had the National Guard of Arkansas
trying to stop them
or whatever. That's where you have, you know, more chaos, because he dropped the hammer and said, I'm nationalizing the National Guard. I'm calling you into service under my authority as commander in chief. A, now you work for me. B, to guarantee you work for me, I'm sending 1,000 hardened combat veterans from the 101st Airborne. No National Guardsman is going to want to dance with the 101st Airborne.
Right.
This is not going to happen.
Especially not, what was it, 10 years after World War II ended?
Well, these guys are still. The 101st Airborne, there are a lot of combat vets from Afghanistan and Iraq are still
absolutely.
In the 101st Airborne, still studs. So they're not going to want to do that. There's no way.
So the Insurrection Act, right? I mean, we have been talking, this has been the word that's been on our lips for the last 5 years, it feels like.
Absolutely 5 years.
I mean, it has been 5 years, yeah, because that's what.
Because in 2020, when they were rioting the first time, I was like, this is where you
Insurrection Act, yep.
Yeah.
And his hand was stayed because it was an election year and because it was COVID and
right.
it was all crazy. He doesn't have that excuse now. And I mean, I've never seen, literally, I mean, in my life, there's never been a more applicable time to invoke the Insurrection Act. I mean, what
2020 is actually worse than it is now, but this is what's coming.
But in 2020, you still didn't have the statements that Tim Walz is making, where he's saying, Minnesota, we've never been at war with the federal government,
right.
but I'm calling up the National Guard to you know, stop the that never happened. I mean, they had stand down orders, but it feels like this is a whole new realm with the Podesta plan and the way that they've sort of seeded the psychological landscape with this, you know, rebellion, revolution, civil war mentality.
It is overall the same play, but I agree. You're right. When it comes to the rhetoric or the actions of the like the governors, it's worse now. And, I mean, and it's because they got away with 2020.
Exactly.
Now they're escalating.
Exactly.
Yeah, right.
And they're so are we falling into a trap? I mean, you know, it seems like the left is doing everything they can to encourage, but at the same time, even
no,
Waltz,
I don't believe they really want Trump to invoke the insurrection.
Right, because yesterday Waltz said that. Waltz said, "Oh, don't give them an excuse to invoke the Insurrection Act." So clearly, they're thinking about that, and they want to push up just to the line, but they don't want to go so far as to invoke the Insurrection Act.
I think the same play is in play that they want Trump to think that if he does that, he'll lose the election.
Yep.
If he does that, people will die. If you do it right, that won't happen. And the way you do it right is you have the National Guard block the streets. You have DHS and, like you're doing right now, DHS and ICE doing their duty, but now with backup from the National Guard. That's how you do that. You're not asking a young infantry combat arms guy to go house to house and get people. You're asking him to block the street.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it seems like sort of has to happen. So maybe that's got to be like the concerted thing right now, is maybe we need to have protests that are just Insurrection Act Now.
Yeah.
Insurrection Act Now.
And it's actually safer. And I sincerely believe that's true.
Yeah.
It's safer because you have the manpower to lock it down so that you don't have what we had yesterday.
Yep.
Yeah.
And we don't have situations where people feel like we need to go out and fight for this. Because again, I think, you know, 2020, you had Trump's calculus was saying, okay, this is an election. But I think that was people's calculus as well. People were watching the chaos reigning and they were going, ooh, they're trying to provoke us. We're not going to let them. We're going to win this election. And so we're not going to take the bait.
Well,
now I wonder if people are just going to go, F it. They want to fight. We'll go fight them. I mean, we don't want that.
Well, that did happen in 2020 to a limited degree.
To a little bit, yeah.
You had the Proud Boys street fighting and kicking the crap out of Antifa, which I thought was fantastic, frankly.
Of course.
You had us out there in the street, Oath Keepers, protecting people. And then you had other groups were out there doing the same thing.
Yeah, neighborhoods.
All over the country. They had to. They had no choice.
Yeah.
So, but they were in danger of being prosecuted by their own police forces in Democratic cities. That's the problem.
Some were. Who are the McCuskers, or is that what they're called?
Well, some of the Proud Boys got prosecuted. They got in a fight with Antifa. Anywhere it's a leftist enclave, you run the risk. You know, so we were successful in doing that without a problem because we deterred them without having to use any force. But there's never a guarantee.
Right.
You know, like I was talking about the young sergeant in here in Austin, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Was his name Perry?
Daniel Perry. Yeah.
It just happened to run into Black Lives Matter. After driving Uber for extra money, pulled around a corner, ran into a blockade of Antifa or Antifa and Black Lives Matter. A white Antifa guy points his AK at him, and then he gets prosecuted for murder for defending himself.
Yep.
So it's always a risk. But if President Trump doesn't, this is the problem. We will fill the vacuum. It's going to happen.
Exactly.
And yes, I think in Minneapolis, for example, if you've got people going down there who are, you know, you got Jake Lang coming up right pretty quick here with a protest against Islam in Minneapolis, that could turn into a massive shit show.
Yeah.
You know, on the 17th, he's going in there to do that. And so I think he needs to have more security. I didn't see any security as last went up in Dallas at all.
Yeah.
So if you're going to go in, if you're going to poke the bear, you better go in with strong security.
Right.
And it's frankly, it's irresponsible not to have strong security when you go into do something like that.
Yeah.
So now Nick Shirley has absolutely every right to go in and cover whatever he's covering. For his own safety, though, he needs security.
Yeah.
But if you're
absolutely
going to do a protest anywhere in the country where there's an enclave like that of Islamicists, you need to go in with strong security, not just for yourself, but also for the people that are going to go with you as attendees.
Yeah.
You have to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, I mean, we're getting into this very.
But why should it have to happen like that?
Right.
Yeah. President Trump should be taking care of that.
You know? That's why we voted for him. I mean, and again, this is the answer to his question. I mean, he's looking around saying, you know, what's going on? Why do people not love me anymore? And it's like, well, dude, here's an opportunity to do what we have been begging you to do the whole time.
Right.
Really, and like, all in one big swoop, right? You've got all the leftist organizations that are funding this stuff. And actually, credit to Owen Schroyer. He put out a video today talking about this is Pam Bondi's fault. The fact that there are still these leftist networks, which it's sort of a Hydra thing, right? It's almost impossible to really crack down on every form of communication. But obviously, there are websites and there are Telegram groups where people inside ICE or people with knowledge of ICE's movement are leaking ICE's movements to these activist groups who are there on call to go out and protest and do exactly what this woman
was doing. So that's also on Trump and his DOJ, is to get rid of these networks that are not engaged in peaceful protesting, not engaged in something protected by the First Amendment. They're engaged in obstructing lawful law enforcement activities, which is not legal and should be stopped.
Or, like with Antifa, all those years of the Trump administration the first time, and now they're going to do it again, are openly conspiring to suppress the free speech of other Americans through force and the threat of force.
Yep.
So why is Nick Sorter, you know, run out of
exactly.
Now there's no-go zones?
That's a great point.
So a conservative journalist can't go into those neighborhoods because it's a no-go zone now. It's an Islamicist no-go zone, basically,
right,
on American soil.
So it's almost like we need like a – because this reminds me of like the FACE Act, right, where the FACE Act was the law that said basically you can't block people from getting to a abortion clinic, right? And so, you know, we're sort of against it, but the fact is, if you have a right to free speech, if you have a right to the First Amendment, and somebody else is blocking that for you, that's illegal and has to be treated like a crime, which is what happens with the FACE Act, where they say you have a right to get an abortion. If somebody's impeding you, then they are now depriving you of your right. The people attacking the reporters today are depriving them of their First Amendment right and need to be treated like criminals.
Or insurrectionists. So a key prong of the Insurrection Act is the president determines that local officials either fail to protect the rights of Americans, like the right to free speech, or directly obstruct and violate their rights, that's one of the triggers for the Insurrection Act.
You
point to Nick Sorter being run out and say, here's an example right there.
100%.
Yeah.
I don't know what the argument against this would be, except maybe that, you know, they want to try to use all other options before invoking the Insurrection Act. But like, clearly this qualifies for all these things.
That's the problem, is that I think it's pretty obvious what's happening is they're trying to convince President Trump, and probably successfully, that if he invokes the Insurrection Act, he'll lose the midterms. You know, that'll be seen as going too far, you know, but no, it'll actually be safer. Just like when President Eisenhower nationalized the National Guard of Arkansas and then sent in the 101st Airborne, that kept it peaceful.
Yep.
Because he just stepped in, you know, and just smacked that big one on the table and said,
yeah,
you know, this is how we're doing this. Do you really want to dance with the 101st Airborne? The answer is no.
and you know what? People were probably telling Eisenhower, hey, this was really, you know, bad idea. People are going to be really mad about this. And what was the outcome? Norman Rockwell paints it like a heroic intervention. Yeah, yeah. It's the little black girl flanked by the two soldiers. It became an icon of actually American positivity. So,
you know, there was a Republican president doing the right thing for all the right reasons and using his power. He didn't invoke the Insurrection Act, I don't believe, but he didn't have to. He just nationalized the National Guard, and you're executing the laws of the Union. You know, the Civil Rights Act? No, that hasn't been passed yet. It was the Supreme Court had ruled
Brown versus Education.
Yes, Brown versus Education, that they could attend school. He was protecting their rights. So,
That's the law.
I think President Trump should invoke the Insurrection Act. It makes it clear. But start with, like I said, start with a very sane action of, hey, we're just going to protect. And this is actually making you safer. We're going to keep things safe.
Yep.
Yeah.
And honestly, you know, if it just is shocking to me that nobody from the Democratic Party yesterday, I mean, maybe shocking is not the right word, but disappointing. I don't know what the right word is, but that nobody, Tim Walz, nobody came out and said, hey, guys, this was a tragedy. Let's have cooler heads prevail. We've asked ICE to stop. We ask you to stop. You know, let's get a handle on this. They immediately went to, let's incite this. Let's throw gasoline on the fire. Right. Let's try to get another dead person so we can double down. I mean, it really is sick what these people are, what they prioritize and what they really want for this country.
Because you'll say, oh, don't give them an excuse to vote the Insurrection Act, be peaceful.
Yeah.
But yet he still wants them to continue to go on and do what that woman was doing.
Yep.
That led to her death.
Yep.
And that's why, like what I was talking with Alex about, I believe President Trump should hold press conferences where they just show all the video, all the footage of ICE agents being rammed, being shot at, being assaulted all across the country, and say, this is the context.
We need the video footage of that, because I do have a speech from Christine Noem where she's talking about, she says 100 ICE agents this year have been, at least 100 have been hit by cars.
Right.
So, yeah, we do need to illustrate, because that's the other thing. I mean, there have been military-style attacks against ICE. There have been shootings against ICE. There has been They've been under attack so much, and even the right wing in the Trump administration doesn't make a big deal out of it for some reason. It's very strange.
Yeah, well, you had some lefties shooting at an ICE vehicle. It was an ICE vehicle, right? Or it was a detention center.
At the detention center and hitting
killing an illegal alien.
Yeah.
But they were trying to kill ICE agents.
But it's just treated as, a shooting at an ICE facility today, and a guy was killed instead. And it's just like, okay, guys, this was an act of domestic terror where they're literally taking pot shots at federal agents. Like, this is a big deal. Why is it not being treated like a big deal?
Yeah, and that's where it's actually worse than what happened in 2020.
Right.
This is an escalation.
Yeah, it absolutely is. And they're clearly, expanding this and going harder at it. Now, the other thing that I know the left doing is they're trying to get Trump to throw the agent under the bus. Yeah. They're saying, well, maybe this was a rogue agent. Maybe he just needs to be punished, which obviously is another strategy where they want ICE agents out there going, I'm not going to fight because my guys aren't going to have my back. They'll send me to jail. And so I'm glad that J.D. Vance and others from the Trump administration have come out forcefully just saying, nope, this guy was right to shoot. He was under threat of death. He was defending himself. End of story. That's the right position to take.
What should have happened on all sides but didn't is, hey, we're investigating this. Until then, it's an active investigation, no comment. But both sides didn't do that.
It's been like that for 20 years, man.
Yeah, this is clear murder, right? So that forced the Trump administration to stand up for their guy. They had to. Yeah.
But they had to, right? Because you cannot send the message to ICE agents.
No.
If a lefty tries to kill you, you have to let them. Like, that's what they're trying to get the Trump administration the signal to send, right?
Right, yeah. So they want, I believe that they're going to continue to provoke, and they want more of this. Rinse, repeat.
Absolutely.
And that's why you can't do half measures. And it's not going to, you will lose the midterms if you don't do the right thing and take decisive, competent action that shows the American people that you're serious. Otherwise, all of us who watched him not do what he should have done in 2020 are now looking at the same thing over again. And so why would we be motivated to go out there and vote for, if President Trump is failing us and not doing what he should be doing, why should we vote for these squishy rhinos that he's endorsing?
Yeah.
We're going to.
The ball's in his court, man. He has, the quote that keeps going through my mind from Andy Frazella went viral a couple days ago, where he just said Trump is either going to go down in history as the guy who saved America or the guy who had a chance to save America and chose not to.
Right.
And it's that last part. He's choosing not to do all of these things he could be doing. That really is the depressing part.
He must do.
Yeah.
To win the midterms, he has to take decisive action. We're giving him the game plan. And so Ivan Raiklin and I are both speaking together up in New York in Long Island this weekend for the Stay Awake America tour. And we're going to go back. I'm going to go back with Ivan to the D.C. area. We're going to work together and work on a lot of this stuff.
Good.
So we'll be putting out some stuff. Hopefully it'll be useful.
Good. How can people find tickets to that event? Do you know?
You go to, I believe it's the stayawakeamerica.com.
Stay Awake America. You can search it. And of course, you can go to oathkeepers.info and follow Stuart Rhodes, now his new X account at Real Oath Keepers. GiveSendGo.com/oath is how you go to support their mission.
I'll post that link on my Real Oath Keepers account on X.
So I'm not giving up. I'm not going away. If they shut us down, I got the Alex Jones Network. I don't know, and I'm going over there. You financed it. You paid for it. Your support. I'm just telling you, here's the weird paradox. I thought we'd be shut down last year. I thought we'd be shut down 2 months ago. The receiver won't let us order new product over at InfoWars.com. So we're in this paradox now where we're winning, and now they're like, well, you'll actually be open in the middle of next year now and all this stuff, and there's no money because people believe it was going to shut down. Plus, there's no product. But I convinced the receiver. I said, can we at least make fundraising posters, which are very low cost, have a high markup, people know it's an investment, to keep us on the air? Kind of. I said, yeah, you can do that. I can just tell you, we need your support right now at InfoWarsStore.com. Three posters I designed, two I designed, Rob designed the other one. Defend the West, famous Crusader King. Make no peace with evil, same Crusader King, and then do like that still image of me. And it is the bestseller. I've only begun to fight John Paul Jones, and it's InfoWars 1997 to 2026. And yeah, you can buy unsigned for $25, big posters, glossy in a tube, or you get it for $100. You're like, God, that's huge markup. Yeah, it's a fundraiser. Like when commies give NPR $200 for a ball cap, costs $15. That's the whole point. We're actually winning right now. I don't want to count chickens for their hats. It's not the Democrats. It's not the DOJ holdovers. They're going to shut us down. If you don't go get these posters, and you don't support us, and I'm not bitching at you, I'm just telling you, I'm not saying you got to do it, then you'll be the ones that shut us down. This is a marathon, so please support us, InfoWarsStore.com. I need the money right now. It's like in Star Trek, Wrath of Khan. He goes, I need warp speed in 3 minutes, we're all dead.
Scotty, I need warp speed in 3 minutes, or we're all dead.
And you guys have got us out of this over and over and over again. And me, I'm not giving up. We need to keep pushing because we've got their ass.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.